On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I give updates for the men's basketball program as far as some roster notes and preview and discuss the baseball team series against Alabama and give some thoughts on Mark Kingston as well. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 62 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And just in case there are any new listeners here, going to do a little reset. What I mean by 1801 to 2001 is I'm going to try and keep every episode from 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes and 1 second in an ode to our university. 1801 founding, obviously, and 2001 A Space Odyssey. But don't bust my chops too bad if I miss it here and there. There's not a whole heck of a lot going on. We got baseball, we got some basketball, not a whole heck of a lot going on. So if I come up short every now and then, please don't sue me. I swear I don't have much to sue for. So I'm trying to make this podcast blow up. And also, I'm not an expert, guys. I'm not trying to be. Think of me as just a guy sitting next to you at a bar you're having a beer with who happens to love South Carolina sports more. That's the level of expertise I'm trying to bring to the table here. But we do have some things to talk about here. It's an awesome time, man. We got the NFL draft going on. I don't care who you root for unless it's the Patriots. In that case, I hope all your picks are busts. But this is where fortunes are made. This is a great time to be a football fan, and it's so cool to see some of our Gamecocks getting some praise. Kingsley and Igbari, Kevin White, Z White, Jalen Foster. Did I say Kevin White? Kevin Harris. Jeez, too many names there, but it's going to be exciting to see how many Gamecocks get drafted, and for those that don't, where they end up signing as a free agent. It's incredible, and it's so cool to see sustained Gamecock success in the pros. Right, spanning many different coaches, we are really seeing a nice pipeline from our university to the NFL, and I take a lot of pride in that. I love when it's Sunday Night Football, they're doing the intros, you know, when you hear Deebo Samuel, University of South Carolina. I love that. It's so cool. And then on a personal note, it's a great day because I got my Women's National Champion shirt in. I am so stoked. I don't think I'm going to be taking this thing off. It's incredible. It looks great. Feels great. Shout out Under Armour. They finally got something right. I'm going to do a nice photo shoot. No shame photo shoot. Please follow my Instagram. It is Cox Talking Gamecocks. It's going to be choice. But before we dive into the episode here, I have my handy dandy Gamecock calendar here with daily facts and trivias for those of you who don't follow along. Today is a fact. We've been on a big trivia run, I feel like. So here's the fact. South Carolina men's track and field athlete Josh Awantundi, capped off his career with a record-breaking outdoor season in 2018. He set a school record in the shot put and placed second both at the SEC and NCAA championship meets. That's awesome. Shout out to this guy, Josh. That's big time. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, our track and field program is no joke. That facility we have is great. We are regularly very competitive in the SEC and nationally, and this right here just says it, even dating back to 2018, but even beyond that. But so moving over to Carolina sports here, real sports here, I'm going to start off with some basketball updates and then move into the baseball team. Now, because there's not a whole heck of a lot of news going on from around sports in general, I wanted to dive a little bit into the comings and goings roster updates here for Lamont Paris' squad. So the news of this week was we picked up transfer Ibrima Dima from Coastal Carolina. I'm probably butchering that name. Sorry, my guy. But Ibrima, he's originally from Sweden. How about that? So he went from Sweden to Myrtle Beach. How about that for culture shock for you? Swedish meatballs to everything Myrtle Beach has to offer. That's incredible. He spent 4 years, including a redshirt year at Coastal. Now, his career average, it's nothing going to scream off the page here. He's a forward guard kind of combo. 8 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. And now, look, I know that there has been maybe a little bit more of a magnifying glass on Lamont Paris because of the whole debacle that was the coaching search for our men's basketball team. And I know that there was some people who maybe thought that he was just going to swoop in and be this incredible guy, and we're going to get 5 stars left and right, and we're going to get transfers from Villanova and Duke and all these programs. And I'm just, that's not realistic expectations, y'all. I've seen some people who are saying that they're not even getting excited for these transfers, that they're cast-offs, right? We had Hayden from Citadel. We have Dima from Coastal saying these guys are cast-off from these teams that are lower tier below us. And I'm not looking at it like that at all. I mean, we should be excited anytime someone commits to our university, period. No matter the sport, it's exciting to win a recruiting battle, right? Hayden Brown had offers from Georgia Tech and Loyola Chicago, teams that have been to the tournament more recent than us. Loyola Chicago with a couple of nice runs. Lamont had to fill so many holes. I think people are forgetting that so many guys left. You had a guy like Levesque and Woodley, that this guy, Dima, can fill some of that. And this is what the transfer portal is all about, finding diamonds in the rough who can fit your system. And that's something that Lamont Paris did so well at Chattanooga. And that's what got a lot of people excited about his hire, that he was not going to be afraid to take a guy that maybe at first glance you're like, what? But Lamont knows that he has the build and he has the game and he has the style to work in his system, right? So I'm not discounting any transfer that we get, especially in this year when he essentially has to rebuild the roster. Also, Michi Johnson from Ohio State, he's no cast-off. So be quiet, right? You got an Ohio State transfer, an exciting young guard, right? Also of interest, Malachi Smith, who was the SoCon Player of the Year, he put his name in the transfer portal. He played for Lamont Paris. One player of the year, it has to stand to reason that we're going to be the front runner for Malachi. And if you pick him up, that's a pretty successful haul from the transfer portal, if you ask me. Maybe you throw in a commitment or two from high school, guys that are pretty good. You combine that with the folks, players who did stay after Frank was released. And this roster actually doesn't look half bad. And again, I'm not expecting anything crazy from this guy year one. I'm not saying that in year one we're going to win 22 games, be a shoe-in for the big dance. I'm not. I'm ready to accept the same or maybe even a bit of a step back in year one. But I got to believe that this guy has the temperament, the system, the knowledge, the resume, and the ability to recruit and recruit the portal, that in years 2 and 3 and beyond, it's only going to get better. And we're going to finally get over the hump that we had been in, get out of this rut that we've been in for the past few years. And then speaking of high school recruits and recruiting well, the last bit of basketball news I have for y'all is GG Jackson. He committed to UNC. Now, normally I wouldn't report on something like this. I don't want to dive into recruiting too much on any major sport, but GG Jackson, he had the focus and he really just had so many eyes on him in Gamecock Nation. And Gamecock Twitter was just in an absolute frenzy on Wednesday night when he decided to go to UNC. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. Wednesday, when it was said he was going to UNC, that was the least surprising thing of my day. And I had a very average day. I had work. I had a couple of meetings, I sent some emails, made a couple phone calls, and that was the least surprising thing of my day. It's just crazy. I mean, I don't think we were ever in the running for him. I don't. People wanted to keep Frank to get G.G. Jackson for 1 year. I think he was playing us like a fiddle. I think there was one or two comments that got blown out of proportion that his family liked Frank Martin. Which, like, yeah, you can like Frank Martin as a person. He's a good person. He's a good man. Father, husband, all that jazz. I don't think we were ever going to get G.G. I just simply don't. I mean, right now, our university just doesn't have that kind of pull yet. There was nothing that a young man could look at and say, I'm going to go there over a UNC. The only thing we had going for us is that he was from here. Chapel Hill ain't that far away. They can still drive there. You know what I mean? And people wanted to hold this against Lamont. Lamont came in way late in the G.G. Jackson process. Way late to the sweepstakes. Yeah, he met with him. He met with his father, I believe. Probably met with his high school coach. He gave it a good effort. Gave it the old college try, if you will. But what is the guy supposed to do? Coaches had been recruiting him for years. Up until a couple weeks ago, essentially. Lamont Paris thought he was probably staying at UT Chattanooga for at least another year. So I don't know. I'm not holding this against Lamont at all. But it speaks to the point that we all have been saying that there is good talent in the state. And if Lamont can stop that talent from leaving the state and going up north to the Dukes, the UNCs of the world, if he can stop that, then we have a real chance to build something special. And that's his challenge. Frank was never able to do it. He was not. You had guys leave. You remember when everyone was convinced Zion was going to come to us? That didn't happen. You know, Frank was here for 10 years, was never able to crack that code. I don't know if Lamont's going to be able to do it. It's going to be hard. But he's going to have to put together competitive teams, teams that are showing growth and progress and winning. There's going to have to be great buy-in from us, the fans, to show up and be loud in Colonial Life on the regular. And that way there's excitement and there's legitimate buzz, right? Right now, UNC has all that buzz. Just went to the national championship, new coach, the fans like that coach. It's very similar to what's going on in our football program, where you have this guy who's just so passionate. He's a fresh face, and there is a surprise first year. Granted, they went to the national championship. We went, you know, a very surprising 7-6. But that same type of momentum and good vibes is going on in UNC basketball right now. So it makes sense that a G.G. Jackson would go there. Why wouldn't he? Just like it makes sense that we are recruiting better in football now. Winning and better vibes and better press does wonders for a program. So Lamont Paris, he's going to have to take a year or two to get there. I think he can. I got to believe he can. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to hold G.G. Jackson not coming to USC. I'm not going to hold that against Lamont Paris. I'm not. Now, let me tell you, if he went to UMass, I was actually going to lose my mind. I was actually going to lose my mind. But there's no winner. There's no loser. Whatever. On to the next. Let's get Malachi Smith. Let's call it a day. Let's see what we got year one, and then let's go from there. What do you say, Lamont? Huh? Huh? All right. That sounds like a good deal. But now, moving on to games that are actually being played, games with real results, as I say, we have our baseball team to look forward to. That's right. Looking forward to baseball. Baseball is fun. It's a very interesting series they have. We are hosting Alabama. There was no regular midweek game. So you have the series starting on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So as you're listening to this, the first game will have already completed. So you'll remember from basketball season, this was sort of the weird cadence I had with the women's team, where they would play on Thursday nights, and I like to record on Thursday nights to summarize the week and allow y'all to listen on Friday morning. But I would always say manifesting good vibes to those games, manifesting good vibes. So I'm manifesting the vibes, manifesting W's and hits and home runs and stolen bases. I'm manifesting all of that as we take on Alabama. Now, looking at Alabama right now, they are 25-17 heading into the series, 9-9 in conference. So not exactly a powerhouse, but not exactly a pushover either. Pitching rotation for Carolina is Thursday, Brett Thomas, Friday, Noah Hall, and then wrapping things up Saturday with Will Sanders. And what is King's done doing? What is he leaving Will Sanders out of the first spot of the weekend rotation? I asked this the other episode here. Is there an article? Is there a quote? Is there something out there that someone can explain to me what King's done is thinking? And yes, I'm calling him King's done, not Kingston. King's done, because I'm done with him. I'm absolutely done. This season, I'm done. Done. So King's done. I don't know what he's doing. He thinks he has a galaxy brain trying to outthink everybody, putting Will Sanders on Sunday when everybody else in college baseball puts their best pitcher out on the first game of the series. It's beyond me. It's beyond me. And I think it sends a weird message to the team. You know, it's almost like you put Will out there as like a fail-safe, as like your emergency brake. So like, hey guys, like, things might not go so well, but don't worry. Sunday, we got Will out there. He's going to go against their Sunday guy, and we should dominate. How'd that go against Auburn? You know, how has that gone when Will pitched on Saturdays? Like, I just don't like it. You got to put your best foot forward, especially at this point in the year. Like, that experiment, you should consider that failed. Kingston? Like, I don't know. But I didn't get into it much last episode because I think I was still shell-shocked and just kind of glazed over the results. But, like, that sweep absolutely has crushed us as fans. Crushed me, at least. And I'm a pretty positive, glass-half-full, garnet-glasses kind of guy. I'm always trying to find the positive in it. Crushed. Like, I was thinking about it this week. It's just brutal. I mean, this weekend series we have here against Alabama is massive. It's absolutely massive. You have to show what kind of fight we have left. And I don't even know what the possibilities are. Like, I don't know what we need to do as far as ending with a positive note, right? Like, I don't know if it's making the SEC tournament. I don't know. Like, I think regionals are like a far out there. Like, I don't think that's possible, which is saying that I want to gag. This is South Carolina baseball here, right? But I don't know what my answer is as a fan, like how I can find a positive spin to end this year. We're nearing the end of the season. You're kind of in the home stretch of things, if you will. What does that look like? I don't really know. And for the kids' sake, for the players' sake, I want to see some fight. I want to see some energy, right? Like, I'm not worried about King's done anymore, right? I think the proof is kind of in the pudding. If we move on from him, I'm not losing any sleep. I'm truly not. I think we've seen what he brings to the table. A couple up years that are really not even that up. Down year, down 2 years, just not progressing, not steady, not South Carolina. That's what it is. He's not South Carolina baseball. So my crow to the series is do just that, right? Like, going back to my earlier point here, is show some energy, show some fight, show some pride. Your back is against the wall. Your back has been against the wall a lot in this season. And sometimes you have surprised us and you've taken a series from a big team or you've had a big showing. Find a way to start this series well. Find a way to finish the series well. That wasn't happening last weekend. Find a way to get some W's, big and small. That's my crow to the series. I want to see fight and energy from this team. That might be intangible, but that's what I want to see. And on that note, y'all, that wraps up this episode. That was good. A lot of venting, a lot of therapy, a lot of Gamecock therapy lately from the show. But please, follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecock, so just my last name, and then Gamecocks. Mentioned the Instagram earlier, just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. But please, like, subscribe, and review to the podcast wherever you listen to. I appreciate y'all. Go Cox.